Today's reading is in the middle of Exodus, when God is giving Moses all these commandments. So right in the middle of that, somewhat almost out of blue, God mentions this. So what did you hear? In a way, it's a good promise, isn't it, that to the people of Israel, I'll send an angel in front of you. I'll wipe them out. I will be the enemy to your enemies, foe to your foes. I'll kill them all for you. It's kind of that's how it sounded in a way. Or that's how it may sound in your first reading. But when you're reading the Bible, one thing we have to remember is the Bible is a story. Bible as a whole is a story. Therefore, every single bits of it inside, also, there are stories. And when you are listening to a story, it's quite important to know who's telling the story. There are things like what happened in the story, that's important too, or how it happened, that's important too, but who is the one who's telling the story will be the most important. Why? Because based on who is telling the story, how it happened or what happened may be colored in a certain way. So the storyteller in the Bible is God. So God is telling you a story. So everything's in a way contextual. There's a reason why God is telling this specific story to the people of Israel at this specific time. And when you are actually really reading this story over and over again, you will see that God is not really promising that I'll just kill them all for you. There's a condition. And before that, even there's a reason why God is actually telling that. And in a whole Old Testament, there's a one huge theme, or most important theme. It is about worshipping, acknowledging and worshipping the living God who is taking care of them versus people keep falling into idolatry. That's the theme. That's the theme of whole Old Testament. God is keep telling them that I am your Lord. I created you. I led you out of Egypt. I saved you from your slavery. I led you all this wilderness journey, and I gave you this land. Worship me, and people are keep worshiping other gods. So that's the theme, huge whole theme, baby. And if you listen to the story, today's story, that's exactly what it is. It has only two points in here. I am your God. You're supposed to worship me, not them. Now, in this context, the people already occupying the land are the ones actually who may be potentially dangerous or potentially, in a way, potential, the word is used here is a snare, the trap, the huge obstacles that may block us from achieving, fulfilling what God is leading us toward. But they have to be wiped out. That's why it is written in that way. The theme is somewhat way not about wars and killing people, actually. So if you read the story over and over and over again, there's only one thing God wants actually them to have. God is wanting them to occupy the land and worship their God and live happily ever after. That's what God wants. But there are dangers. There are these conditions and obstacles that will challenge them. And some of them are much more essential and dangerous than they can ever imagine. And that's the one that is warned here saying, you do not mingle with them. You do not follow their worship. You do not worship their God. And if you read the Old Testament from this on to all the prophets, that's it. That's the one. Every single king who was said or punished or announced as an evil king, regardless of what they have achieved as the king, they failed to worship their gods. And here, somehow, what God is doing is not saying like, though, you just have to worship me. No. There's a very personal connection with it. So this is the God who chose them, who nurtured them, who actually fed them, who led them. So this is the one that who almost called them from the beginning and is leading toward the destiny to fulfill. Yet there are snares. So, it's kind of a little heavy. I'm pretty sure that you all know today's scripture reading. And I'm pretty sure that you have heard many different messages about it. And this is probably the highest way of being we can be as a Christian. And therefore, this one has the deepest spiritual lesson that we can ever perceive. Which means this is very challenging. So simply asking, who among you can say that I can love my enemy? No one? Not yet? Working on it? How about I can kind of love those annoying co-workers? So you'll try. How about the people on the street that are making all kind of crazy noise that way you want to sleep? Can you love them?
Easier than the crazy
co-workers. How about those teenagers that are kind of running almost look like mindless? Can you love them? Or can you love yourself? The one who is making all those mistakes that you don't want to make, that you find yourself making it over and over again. In this scripture reading, we need to know not only what love means, we also need to know what enemy means. And as I was telling, Bible is a story. When the story is told by God, what it means by enemy may not really mean the way we mean. In a way, enemy is very simply saying you meet enemy in the battlefield. So enemy means basically you're trying to kill each other. That's enemy in an ancient way of saying. But then in this society where there's no real battlefield, who is your enemy? The one who opposes you? Who is against you? Or the one you don't like? What's enemy? But what's enemy that God has to say to us that we may love? To be perfect. We just read the Old Testament. In there, God was sure that God will stand for the people of Israel to destroy those enemies. And now, Jesus is saying, you have to love your enemy. Is it just simply contradicting each other? Or there's a deeper meaning? One of the core teachings that I really love about Buddhism, I still use that in my spiritual training, is that the reality I perceive I live is made by my own mind. Meaning that, I'm not sure how many of us are here, we have this many realities kind of cohabiting together right now. Which means that whatever I say, it doesn't matter what I mean here, it matters how you receive it. And the way you receive it will become something that's yours and does become part of your reality, if that reception has happened the way that is I wish and hope, it may make a good impact or influence. But if it's not that the way that I hope, then it may mean nothing. Saying that, there is absolutely two different degrees about enemy. There is our enemy, in the sense, the enemy that I see as my enemy. And there is God saying that there is actually your enemy, Jun Cho. And there is a huge difference. When I say an enemy, that means what? Somebody who seemed not like me, seemed maybe like hurt me, oppose me, stand against me, or I just don't like that person. I don't know why. We could label that to many individuals in that way. But when God says, Jun Cho, this is your enemy, that enemy means somebody who is blocking my relationship with God or something. Now, this something exists where? Yes, in me. That's why when God was leading people with promise that I will lead you to the land with milk and honey, such a great promise. And they had to go through 40 years of this wilderness journey and preparation. So when they marched into the land, what did they find? The land was already occupied. They had to conquer it by their own hand. It was not freely given. And the very danger that may trap them, that may actually make them to roam, was already in the land that they're supposed to occupy. Isn't that somewhat paradoxical in a way? This is supposed to be paradise. This is supposed to be the land with milk and honey. Yet, when they get there, God says, oops, sorry, you have to take it. By your own effort. I'll be with you, but you have to knock them all down. And beyond that, if you ever follow their practice, it'll be wrong to you. And what happened, actual story, is that what? They made every single mistake that was warned not to make. Yes, that's why Old Testament is almost, probably, this is the peak time in Old Testament. The great Moses receiving this great commandment, leading these people with God's care and everything. The wilderness, they were so united, so worshiping one God. And marching into the land with Joshua, conquering, they were so good. Then what happens? After settling down, it's almost downhill all the way. Almost all the way. There's one climax with King David, but probably that's it. Why? Do you think it's because simply that those people are so smart that they tricked them to worship their gods instead of the God who is protecting Israelites? That's not really the case. And that's not really the way that story is really told in the Bible. So there is this enemy that is almost innate within us that blocks us to connect to God. And the enemy that Jesus is telling us to love is not that enemy. It's people that we label as enemy. And what Jesus is telling us is that we, as the creation of God, we as created in the image and likeness of God, we are capable of higher love and are capable of higher rationality. You know, simple thing is, can you distinguish a person from the act? The person who does an evil act is not evil itself. The action is evil, not the person. In a very simple way, that's what Jesus is asking. And saying, we all make mistakes like that. If we are hardened to not to see it in that way and forgive, where is love that we believe that is coming from God? So enemy, love your enemy to Jesus at this time. This message is actually multi-labeled too. For the Jews, maybe Jesus was saying that maybe try to love the Romans. Not to try to kill them, but maybe try to love them. Maybe that's the better solution. And inside, within the Jews at the time, they have different political parties trying to kill each other, fighting each other. In a way, a lot of people, or most people at this time, were believing that they want to achieve whatever they want to achieve by force, by aggression. What Jesus is saying that, no, that's not really it. You don't really achieve anything by violence or by hate. And this kind of love is, I know, it's hard, as we tried. That's hard. Because our mind is so captured in this reality. Let's say if I walk around and slap somebody's head, what happens? I bet that person's heart will be fired with an anger and will stand up with, how did you do that? That's who we are. But can we somehow overcome that? And instead of firing up this unhealthy emotion, maybe hold and say, God, where is love? What is love then? What is love? I'm sure that every one of you talk about it within a few days, if not even this morning, right? When was the last time you said I love you to somebody?
This morning.
Right? This morning. So you know what it is. You're using it every day. Do you really know what it really, really means? Oh, that's a challenge. Love the way that I want to pour out, that's the easiest way. I love you, I love you, I love you, whenever I'm in good mood. But don't mess with me when I'm in a bad mood. In a way, that's how a lot of us love each other. I can love you as long as I'm content. As long as the world is not challenging me, as long as I have all that I need to have, I can love you. But as soon as something hard crushes me, something stumbles me, what happens? Being a children of God means, even in those moments, can you think about love? Even if you are, as a human, not capable of doing it, but you can think about it. The promise of God saying that I'll send my angel before you and I will do the work for you works in that situation. You know that you're over. Your heart is fully occupied, devoured by this unhealthy feeling, emotion. You know that. But you remember this message, God saying, love your enemy, love the person. So you hold instead of pour that out. That emotion in you and thought that justifying that, why not? You know? That's the enemy that God is telling in the Old Testament, that I will send my angel before you. That's why I'm saying the whole Bible is a story. It's a story about how much God loves us, but at the same time, how much God does for us. And a lot of times, what God is really asking us is to remember. Just to remember. You're not supposed to overcome all your anger and evil feelings. God knows you can't, you know you can't. But if you remember to ask, God, this is something that I don't really want. Help me out. And the promise is, there will be another power that is coming into you and actually fight for you. Because God knows us way better than we know about us. God knows what is impossible to us. And it is impossible to us because we're humans. That's why God is also saying, what is impossible to humans is possible to God. That's where comes faith in God. Do you actually believe God is the one who made you? God is the source of you. God is the one who's feeding you right now, leading you, inspiring you, and loving you right now. If you have that, you can remember that. And I bet if you can overcome, pass away this one anger moment, you will be proud of yourself. And that continues and builds up. And next time it gets easier. But it takes time. You don't get over everything overnight. It takes time, slowly. Promises, as long as you're willing, God is always there. And again, sending the angel before you and fighting the battle for you. That's the promise. And they're wonderful. Amen. Mm-hmm.